Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Todd Clark, why I was not on air there, and he said he's going to bring us an update every morning. Plus, he said he might have some time on Saturday morning to come up and talk to you live on the air. Good deal. Well, let's just recap that last round. We can tell you that from the area, these wrestlers posted victories. Jaron Grimsland of North Crawford Seneca. Three wrestlers from Mineral Point, Memphis Burkhalter, Liam Carey, and Jacob Dannenberg. Bryce Lenzendorf of Prairie du Chien was the winner. Nolan Waldner of Ithaca Weston, Seth Greeno of DeSoto, Nathan Johnson of Dodgeville, Rhett Spurley of Dodgeville with a win as well. Nathan Blaschke of Fenimore, Nolan Hanko of the Lancaster, and Trey Udelhoven of Sugar River picked up a win as well in that particular round. Now we move into the quarterfinals tonight, and we're going to bring on people like Ethan Hady of Richland Center, the three wrestlers from Riverdale, Lakota Brewer, Brody Meese, and Grant Matthews. Iowa Grant Highland will be busy in this particular round, and our tournament continues now. And David, what do we want to check out first?
Got a final down there. Underwood won that one, didn't he? Yeah, he did, for Marathon. D3-106. He beat Gunnar Lambert from Princeton. We do have Memphis Burkhalter on the mat right now on mat number six.
Yep.
He's taking on Colton Haupt from Stratford in quarterfinal action. You want to watch that one, David?
I can certainly do that. As they're into the match with 0-0 here, and takedown is going to go to Haupt of Stratford, a sophomore, 35-12. Memphis Burkhalter is a freshman from Mineral Point with a record of 41-11, and at the end of the period, it is 3-0 in favor of Hope.
We have three prelim matches going on yet. In the center there, one of them just got over, and then we're in quarterfinals on all eight matches.
Yeah, they're going to keep things going because we started out the day behind schedule, and then we started out this round 20 minutes behind schedule. So we keep things moving right along as Burkhalter does get a point for the escape, so it's 3-1 now. And so both gentlemen are out there working for takedown. Well, head snap there for Burkhalter, just can't get around the corner as Hulk blocks that. Now he works back to his feet, he's still got an underhook. Hulk goes in for a fireman. Sprawled out is Burkhalter. Buries that head in the mat, trying to get his arm out. As Hulk has got up above the elbow and ducked under the head or under the armpit. Just over a minute to go. There's a little roll through for Hulk, but good stop there for Burkhalter. He's going to get the takedown. He did give him a three takedown.
Don Rashan is out on the mat now for Dodgeville. He takes on Nowak from Poland on mat number four.
Takedown for Burkhalter gives him a 4-3 lead there, but now he's one for stalling. Curtis Feeler, I think, just wants to get clarification on that.
Sean has got Bentley Nowak from Pullman in a lot of trouble. Real close to the cradle for a pin here.
I think Sean has a lot of guys in trouble that time.
For sure.
Defending state champion.
53 of them anyways. Record of 53-2.
There's the fall, I think.
Yeah, pretty sure he slapped the man.
Yep. Looks like Ryan Lord's picking up the close, so it looks like the match is over.
Yep, he pinned him.
Looks like a minute one,
yep.
For Shane Rashan, that's a good start for Dodgeville, which had victories earlier from Rhett Spurley
and Nathan Johnson. Been a perfect night for Dodgeville.
Back to Matthew Burkhalter. He does have a lead, 4-3. We're into the second period, and he's in the top position. He's riding now. That's the end of the period, it looks like.
Division 2, 106 pound
quarter. We'll reset here, start the third period. Just so we're all aware, it looks like Cost from GT is on mat number 2, and also Ethan Haney's in the hole on mat number 2. All right. Can you help him out? I think this round he's going to be on his own here.
Okay.
His dad said he needs a little encouragement when he gets to that finals match, so we'll see about that. Okay, we have a final over there on mat number 2. 3-point takedown for Burkhalter. He goes up 7-4 now, it looks like.
G3, 113-pound quarterfinal for Marcus Gavin Clark against Jared Gripsler.
7-4 late for Memphis Burkhalter, middle point. Darren Goodwood of North Crawford Seneca is back out there. He's on mat 8. He is facing Gavin Clark from Marquessan. We'll keep an eye on these two matches, and then when Ethan comes up, we'll jump to his mat.
Underwood didn't stay on the mat very long on mat number 7 down there.
Now, Curtis Baylor was looking for some near fall, but we got to trade out the score here. He was going to give reversal, but no near fall for Burkhalter. So gets it within 1 now for Hupp, as Burkhalter is still leading. He's leading by a slim 1.7-6. 1 point green as Hupp releases him. So 8-6 now. Looks like about 35 seconds on the clock. While Grimblet is down by a takedown, 3-0.
Colton Quass out there. He takes on Briar Caves on mat number 2 from Moldi. Both in the same sectional.
I'm sorry, Kurt. Burkhalter's got to be aware of he's got that one warning against him for stalling. As he continues to be aggressive, good tie. Good block on the shot attempt there. And we're down to 10 seconds. Short fireman's attempt by Hulk. Good block there for Burkhalter. Hanging on here for a couple seconds, and he's going to get it, I think. And he does. And our final looks like it's going to be 8-6. Favor of Memphis Burkhalter.
He's on to the semifinals and a guaranteed place. Nice. 8-6. 8-6. Holy cow, there on the mat, on mat number 2, mat number 3 here, taking on young wrestlers from East Troy. We're waiting that now Ethan Haney's mat now is on deck. Maybe Bill will figure out something to call for on the deck. But
well, we still have Darren Grenfoot out there from North Carolina.
Fantastic.
He's down 3-0 here in his match. And a couple other matches you got to watch coming up. Aiden Gudenfelder's on deck, just facing Liam Terry on mat 8. Keep an eye on that one coming up.
Lane Anderson's an interesting aspect. He's the number 3 seed, but ranked number 1 at Ethan Haney's weight class at 120. That's a tough weight class. 4 tough seeds there. 120, Division 2.
I think Lane Anderson is, what, 2-time finalist? Is that right?
That's probably, but I'm surprised he didn't get seeded higher, though. He was ranked number 1, I saw, on the way down here today, but he ended up, Colton Kloss got the number 1 seed. That's one of those where, like you say, you kind of wonder how the bracketing worked out there. They were both at the bye state, so I wonder if Kloss
I don't know. I'm not going to say. Somebody maybe placed ahead or they met head-to-head at best.
Anderson was fifth here as a freshman, third as a sophomore, and last year lost his first match and didn't place.
Okay. We have a final down here, Matt number 3, and that is Bowling. He looking for that rematch against Shane Rashawn later in the tournament. Hopefully Saturday night we'll see that one. He moves on for Evansville. They got some really fine freshmen. They also have another Heiser that didn't get here this year,
like Tom, wrestling at 150, and he had a fantastic record.
Yep. So that was a tough weight class at that sectional, and he didn't get out of there. But his brother Danny, as we look, as Bill said earlier, we look for him to create some history here later on.
And his older brother, Owen Heiser, was a state champ also.
Yes, he was. We wouldn't have got hurt his senior year. He probably would have been a two-timer.
Yep.
Real close to a fall over there on mat number 6. And that is maybe Red, I think time ran out. Young man from Brilliant went in over there, spearing against Volkman for Shock. And Shock is a school that's really come out of, you know, I'd say I wouldn't have noticed them, but boy, they've come on now to be a power. They were real close. They were in the match with Wyoming and Fremont to come out of that area for Keene State.
Years ago, Shai Oxen came down to the Richland Invitational a couple years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Great memory by you, Bill.
Remember when Kaukauna was down here?
Yes.
At Richland Center?
Yes, I do remember.
They were down for 3 or 4 years, I think.
Yep. So I remember one time getting into it with Jeff Machick, the head coach.
There was something about some sort of a call that he didn't quite agree with. But
coaches never argue with officials.
Oh, yeah. Not at all.
Boy, we still have one prelim match out here between Aquinas.
Yeah.
A spot fire. He's an active match. They're tied going into the end of the match here. Almost had a takedown, but they didn't call it as they went out of bounds. And they're out of bounds, and a penalty.
Yep.
Point was awarded, and Flotmeyer is going to win it with a takedown right at the end, 6-2.
Oh, wow. My kid didn't know the match was over.
He was going off his armband. He saw time on the clock.
Yeah.
Not like some of the other things we've seen lately on the internet. So we'll just say an honest mistake there by the young man. But Flotmeyer wins. 6-2, the final. And Aquinas had a pretty good round, and I guess I'm not surprised.
No.
Deke Stanek's doing a heck of a job up there. We're getting close to our match over there. Maybe 10-6 over there. Can't really tell if that's 5 seconds or more than that on mat number 2. Still close to Ethan Hayden coming back up.
I think there's 30 seconds left.
Okay.
Yep. And counting.
You're right. Now I can see it better. 10-6 right now. Toss is winning in this match over there against Case from Lodi. As we said earlier, Haas secured the number 1 seed in this weight class, so it would be quite upset if Caves upset him. Caves gets a stalling point there, but that's going to be the end of the bout, and we're going to be looking for Ethan Haney to step on the mat as Colton Kloss takes his move into the semifinals and hopefully a matchup with Ethan Haney as he comes up next. Any other updates, David?
Yeah, quickly here. Darren Grimwood is down 3-5-2. And they are into the third period. He's got just over a minute to go.
Wrestling Gavin Clark of Marquesan.
You guys are going to have to help me out. Who is Ethan's opponent?
Ethan is wrestling Jarvis Portaro
of Whitewater.
Of Whitewater, yep. Okay. Not too far away. They lock up right away here in the first period, head-to-head. Ethan looking for that important first takedown.
Whitewater's another program that was not too many years ago was very strong and then kind of dropped out of sight for a while, and they see their world representative here this year, though it's Ethan chases Jarvis out of here in the first period. 130-some left to go as they spar for takedown. So far, Ethan's been using a nice hip high, looking for a heel pick there. Almost got it. Go ahead, David. What's happening?
Yeah, Darren is getting back into this match. He's got two penalty points for stalling. Now he's trying to get a turn. Holy shoot. He's trying to get a turn there, and his opponent, Clark, ends up getting a reversal.
That's the nice thing about radio. I can bring you up to date on Ethan Hitty's match. Well, David was talking there. He did a beautiful heel pick and scored the first takedown.
Nice. Tough loss for Grimsland as he was coming back, got within one, needed a turn and near fall, but he ends up giving up the reversal. So he's defeated by a score of 7-6.
That was it.
113.
Nice job riding here. Not, almost real close to a turn, and he does get him over. All depends on how well the official counted. I think he's got points down there. Is it three, I think he gave, right?
Yep.
6-0, and still quite a bit of time left here in the first period. Not quite a bit, 15 seconds, sorry.
I'll keep an eye on Matt Hayden as that breaks up Hayden. Shoulder from Tectonic Hardstyle, the senior, and Liam Perry, a freshman from Monroe Point.
This was a good match last Saturday, and it looks like Gunnerfelder maybe took a finger to the eye.
Why did he do that?
He didn't do it willingly.
No.
You could just tell last week that Carey, you know, was not going to give three-time state champion a whole respect. He just really went after him and pushed after him. Over there, back to Hades' match. We start the second period. They started on their feet again. Ethan having a nice 6-0 lead. Because, oh, well, another nice low single-leg shot by Ethan. He's got Jarvis' butt. He can work his head out. He's got a good chance to get another takedown here. Oh, Jarvis did a nice job of whipping him over the top. Again, he tries that. Ethan's got to be a little bit careful. And yep, he did. He was able to break his grip there and come around, Jarvis was, and he got the takedown. There for most of the time, it looked like Ethan had the really advantaged position. What do you got to update down there, David?
Yeah, it's 3-1 lead there for Grunenfelder. He got the takedown and releases Terry. They're back on their feet.
Ethan's got his arm behind his back. He scored for stalling, which kind of surprised me a little bit. Nice stand up there, but he got caught in a cradle on the way up, and he's given up some back points. Now he's scrambling up. Maybe he can come back and score some points of his own.
Locked hands.
Locked hands there, at least going to get that, but he's still going for a reversal or an escape. But I think Jarvis got too near fall there, too. And now they're finally going to score.
And it's hard to see that scoreboard, too.
I think it is. That's thinking, too, David. He gave up the reversal and some near fall there. Well, he probably just gave up three near fall.
Now, 7-6.
Yep, 7-6. And we're down to 25 seconds. Close there. Ethan trying to sit out again. He's got to be really careful, though. He got caught there sitting too long in Jarvis in the cradle and secured those near fall. Now a nice sit out. Tries for that cradle again, but this time, caught his head on the way over there. Yep, and now he's going to score back points again. Got to be careful here.
Ethan's in trouble.
Wonder now, they're barely staying in bounds. That was a fortunate case there that the time ran out. But now it's going to be 10-7 as we go into the third period. David, update.
Grimsalder, 6-1. Starting the second period.
In a good spot here. Ethan is down, but he does trail 10-7. And he's been doing a really good job with those sit-outs, but he's getting caught in the turn there where he's sitting out there. Maybe he needs to go back onto his feet and just get a straight escape and come in for
a takedown instead in that sit-out position again. Jarvis does a good job of sucking him back here, neither getting him caught in a drop back or now coming over the top again. He's got that cradle locked up again. But this time he even catches his head, and he comes out, and he gets that escape. So now it's 10-7, a takedown, excuse me, 10-8, thank you. And it's now the takedown puts him up. Oh, nice fireman's takedown. Put him right to his back. Oh, and he didn't get it. Wow, that was close. And now he's in a bad position. And now it's Jarvis throwing the circle. He's got to get his hips back. As soon as his legs dig in.
Now you need a stalemate.
That would be advantageous. He does have the leg locked, and he does get that good call, David.
Meanwhile, Grunenfelder is up 9-3. 40 seconds to go in the second period.
Jarvis is really good scramble because Ethan's been, for the most part, the aggressor, and has had some really nice moves, but he just Jarvis just, hate to say it a little bit, just kind of outquicks him or outbalances him. I thought for sure he was going to finish that fireman right to his back, and Jarvis came out almost getting the points for it. Now we're down to a minute 20 to go. In this case, it's Jarvis that shoots in deep, and Ethan's the one scrambling. Can he scramble around out of this and come up on top? Or as David said earlier, maybe another stalemate would be nice here. The only thing is we're burning up clock here. It's down to, how much time is left?
20 seconds.
20, okay. They're close to here. I was hoping for a stalemate here, but this is Jarvis is actually kind of content to just sit right here and let the clock run down, and now we're down to less than 10. There finally comes the stalemate, but now we only got 5 seconds left, right?
Yep. Yeah, 5 seconds down by two.
He's now going to have to make a fairly strong desperation shot here to make something happen. But Jarvis knows that, too, and he just runs away. Well, that's going to be the match. It's going to be a heartfelt loss here for Ethan Haiti. He's going to have to look for that award stand through the backside now. And that thing coming through the back, the best he can do is this. Any updates down there?
Yeah, Grunenfelder, of course, is in the charge in the lead, 9-3. Minute 35 to go, it looks like.
Was that a 10-8 final?
Yes.
10-8, yep.
Well, let's take a break. We'll be back with more from the Kohl Center in Madison as our coverage continues. This is State Tournament Thursday on WRCO Sports.
Looking for an exciting career opportunity with a world leader in coated glass for residential windows and doors? Look no further than Cardinal CG. They're hiring for all shifts, including production positions, with the potential to earn up to $29 an hour. Enjoy up to 6 weeks of time off per year and start earning vacation hours on your very first day. Apply in person Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Interviews and tours are available at 1024 East Madison Street in Spring Green. Join the Cardinal CG team today and be a part of the future of residential glass innovation. The Muscadet Mini Mart and Hunch Brothers Pizza team up to bring you the best option for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Making fresh pizza from cheesy breakfast pizza to the lunchtime hunk of pizza. And get a delicious 12-inch pizza and wings you can take home for dinner. All this comes with quality service and you are treated like family. Get all this at Muscadet Mini Mart along with top quality fuel. You can call in your order and have it ready for pickup. 739-3733, the Muscadet Mini Mart.
Milk has been building champions for centuries. Why? Research shows that real milk builds pregame muscle, and low-fat chocolate milk restores postgame muscle for athletes like few other beverages. That's why local players know they're going to need milk to fuel their performance. Learn their inspiring stories at GonnaNeedMilk.com. Brought to you by Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. It's time to join the Buckle Up, Phone Down movement. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation challenges all Wisconsin drivers to put safety first by taking the two most important actions to prevent or survive a crash. Use your seatbelt on every trip and put down the phone when driving. buckle up, and phone down on every trip, every time.
While we were away, that match involving Liam Carey and Aiden Grunenfelder ended. How did it turn out, David?
Yeah, it was a final of, I forgot the score already.
17-3.
17-3 in favor of Grunenfelder.
I should have just asked myself.
I knew he won, but I forgot the score.
So Liam Carey, like Ethan Hady and Jaron Grimswood, moments before, Richland Center, North Crawford Seneca, respectively, drops now into the consolation bracket, and the highest they can finish is fifth.
Lakota Brewer now is on deck on mat number seven, so he will be up shortly.
He is the first of three Riverdale wrestlers that we will see. Now, Lakota was a runner-up at the sectional to Roger Fleege of Aquinas, but he gets the fourth seed here and gets the first round bye.
And that was one that worked out to his advantage, you know, and was good to see, too.
So we do have Lucas Orloff of Pekka Caragal. He's out there right now in mat six. That'd be a good one. Take it away, David.
The teammate of Jordan Soldier, Junior 54 and 2, he's facing Jack Wendling of Boulder. And Orloff sees himself in a 6-1 lead here, 20 seconds to go in the first period. Cody Meese, I see, is on deck also on mat 8, so we're going to have Riverdale on 7 and 8.
Sure. Yep, and then Carey right behind him on 8.
His opponent from Cambridge.
A lot of local talent coming up here.
Yep.
As Orloff goes off the mat, they'll have to reset. 6-1 here going into the second period.
Also have Weigel on deck from Belmont Platteville at 138. He's on deck on mat number 4, Dylan Weigel.
1 point escape for Wendling.
Well, wow, we jumped up to 144 down here. We already have Hawk and Peterson on the mat. Our big screen decided to take a break.
Yeah, went dark. 6-2 lead still for Orloff. Fighting to keep his opponent on the mat. We go out and restart. They'll reset at center circle, 130 to go in the second period. Orloff in control, up by 4. Kurt mentioned Hawken Peterson. He's way out, way in the lead here, 12-4 in his match. He's on mat number 1.
And 15-4 now.
15-4. Orloff goes off, they'll have to reset them. 8 seconds to them. There's a 108. I can't read the clock.
Hawken Peterson taken out on Braden Lohr from Kewaskum. That match is going to be over before I can give you all the details. Next takedown here makes it 18-5.
Under a minute now in Orloff's match, 9-3 still. Orloff is looking to score another takedown. He's got a front headlock blocking that knee. Under 30 to go. As Wendling has the leg locked up, the stalemate, so he's set. Like 23 seconds on the clock. There's a takedown from Orloff. And three more. 12-3.
18-5 in Peterson's match. They're on their feet. Next takedown is the, and there it is. to win that 21-5 at 144.
Going into the third period here as Parks is going to keep neutral. He's got a 9-point lead, 12-3. He's got a takedown. Yep, got another takedown. 15-3. How many takedowns him and Grunenfelder have total in the season?
Wow, there was a quick fall down there. That should bring Lakota Brewer out on that. He's going to take on a pretty good wrestler from Cumberland, I believe.
Orloff is up by 11 now, just over a minute to go. We'll get set here for Lakota's match shortly.
Taking on Cooper Szymanski from Cumberland.
I'll give you an assignment while you're here this weekend, Kirk. With your connection, there is a Logan Peterson here in the state tournament wrestling for Cumberland.
I already know the answer.
And the answer is?
The answer is he is John's son.
John's grandson.
John Peterson's grandson.
Yes, he is.
I was curious if it was John or Ben. There was some connection there.
No, that's John, because John stayed in Cumberland where Ben went to down by Whitewater there at Maranatha College.
Okay.
Yep. So a lot of his family grew up down in that region.
Way to pass your assignment, the flying colors.
Yeah. They were at the Dells tournament the last couple of years, and I got to talk to his son, which I think his name is John Jr. But don't quote me on that one.
Well, the world needs more John Petersons, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
Go ahead, David.
All right, Lakota's out here wrestling. He's currently down by 3-0.
Uh-oh.
And he's trying his darndest to stay off his back, which he does. He's working for an escape, but he ends up not getting it, still down 3-0. As I see, Lucas Orloff is a winner, 21-5. We'll focus on Lakota here as we're going to have blood time, I believe. Blood time, yeah. Lakota's opponent is Cooper Szymanski. He's got the blood time right now. Scan the floor here as we're waiting for Lakota's match to get started up again. Nathan Hurd from Prairie to Sting. He's out there right now on mat 3, early in his match. Brody Meese is on deck on mat 8, if I'm not mistaken. Owen Sefrud from Darlington Blackhawks, he's on deck on mat 1.
We got the other Johnson over there on mat number 2. I believe that's who it is
there. Yep.
Nathan Johnson is over there. Dodgeville looking to go 4-for-4 here.
Boat is ready to go, but his opponent has got trainers over there trying to take care of some blood time. At 5, he's got Roger Flaggy of Aquinas, across Aquinas, he's up big, 12-0.
And getting more back points. Could be a tech call here now for Flaggy at 132. What is that?
He's wrestling that Tyler Beekman. He's the one that defeated Elliot Kite from Mineral Point.
He only got 2 for that near fall, so he's up 14-0.
Still waiting for Lakota's match to restart. Like they got the nose all bandaged up.
Go ahead.
1 minute on the clock here. 3-0 lead for Szymanski. Boat is underneath there trying to get some hand control as Szymanski puts in a half. Nelson backs out of that. Still covering the hips on the edge of the mat. Sort of working his way up to his feet. He's up to his feet, does break the handlock, gets the one escape, down by two with 35 seconds to go in this first period. He's trying to work a arm tie, double arm tie on his feet, trying to score a takedown at the edge of the mat. Matt Page has now got Brody Meeks to keep an eye on his match.
I don't want Brody to hit hard,
and Brody's going to get a free takedown.
Yep, early takedown, he's 3-0.
Sure, he'll keep an eye on that as we're watching Dakota's. He tried his darndest to get a takedown at the edge of the mat, but they didn't go out of bounds. With 1 second on the clock, down 2-3-1.
Johnson trails on the other end, 7-5.
Well, at the end of the period, it's a 3-1 lead for Transpace and Cumberland. Meese has got a minute 20 to go here in the first period, and he still leads 3-0. Johnson's match now is 10-5. He's trailing in that match. That's at 138-2. There's an opponent. Here's Ethan Emo from Key Wascom. Boston against Kramski, so they restart here. He's out to an arm bar with a half, it looks like. Dakota trying to reach up, peel that half Nelson off. Got to get some hand control. Works back over his hip. Comes up to the seat. Nice job there. Trying to break that hand control. Stay in bounds. Yeah, we're going to get a warning against Kramski for stalling. And we're going to get an escape for Dakota. We're going to go off the edge of the mat. It's going to get him within one.
He's got, what, a minute 42? Oh, they're messing with the clock.
They're messing with the clock. The official caught that. So he's got the clock reset at 129 now is on the clock. Second period. 3-2 lead for Stransky, but Lakota's really picking up his offense here. He's trying to work that arm tie there. He wants to work that his left side, Stransky's right arm. Stransky has been called for stalling. Dakota's got to use that to his advantage as he's working the edge of the mat here.
Nice rushing arm tie.
Double under.
Yep.
Tried to get a double leg, but Stransky does a good job of blocking that. Now Dakota's got to block the counter, which he does, and goes out of bounds.
3-0 going into the second period. Meets down position, but up in score, 3-0.
There's the attempt from Stransky as Dakota sprawls out, pushing that head. He goes down low on an ankle. Got to back out. Three sets on their feet, both wrestlers. Now a single leg attempt from Stransky, but Dakota's not giving it up that easy. Fighting through that. He's going to get a takedown himself. Yes, he does. He does get the takedown.
That's an Oki position.
Oki, yeah. I don't know what they call that, but
but now he comes to a more standard position.
Yep.
He did score again and got a reversal. He's up 5-0. Johnson's match not quite so good. Behind now 17-5 and not much time left.
Dakota's in control there. 12 seconds up to 5-3 at the end of the second period.
Seems to be wearing on young man from Cumberland right now. Dakota seems to be feeling a little bit better.
Beaten down a little bit. We're going to have injury time. Dodgeville did take it on the chin a little while ago from Rhett Spurley. He was defeated.
Oh, okay. That's right. Forgot that.
At 126 pounds.
So they went 2-for-2 in the two that won. We expected to win.
Yep. Oh, and Sheffield is must have won his match 19-4. Darlington Blackhawk.
Okay.
Dakota's match back in the action. Guys on their feet in the third period here. Where's the attempt from Kramsky? Dakota trying to buck that. Back in that Oki move. He's got to get on top. He's going to get on top. No
nice,
more.
Nice,
no,
he's got arch into
yet.
It.
He's got to keep fighting through that because both wrestlers have got to sort of a single leg here, no advancing though.
Ramsey's got more leverage.
He's got
right
the
now.
Leverage as Lakota's flattened out. He's got to hang on to that leg. He's got to scramble through this. Hope for a stalemate. Going to hang on to that leg. Got to work. Try to work your hips back up.
Don't want to go ahead and step over a whole lot more here, though. 5-0 in Mises match.
So got that leg. There we got the stalemate.
Official gave it Stransky every chance he could. Now we're going to have blood time.
Yeah. Blood time for Stransky again. Set the match here 5-3, 106 to go. 5-3 in favor of Brewer.
Yep. In Mises' match, we're into the third period now, and we're on our feet going takedown. 5-0 lead. Warning for stalling now. Back to my right bracket here. And there's the takedown for Meese. It's a young man from Marathon. No, Oakfield. Oakfield he's wrestling. And that is Austin
Harmston.
Yep. Brody gets another takedown. We're going to go back to Lakota, though. He's in a tight match here. In neutral position, 106, up by two is Brewer. And Stransky dives down in for a single leg. Lakota's trying to whizzer that off. Trying to grab, reach it over top, grabbing the ankles, keeping the hips down, head down to the mat. On the edge here, he's got to try to back out of this. Stay active, circles on, nice job.
Yeah,
circles on, goes out of bounds. Stransky's taking lots of shots there right off the whistle. He does. Now Lakota's got that arm tie.
Likes that Russian arm
tie. He does.
Yep. He really does. He's good at it.
Got to get his head on the other side. Down to 30 seconds, hanging on with a two-point lead here. He has not been called for stalling. Now he's got an overhook on the other side.
Looks like he's trying to tie up both arms right
now.
Yeah,
he did that earlier in the match. Just about had a takedown with it. Now he's got the warning called against Brewer. He's got 10 seconds. He's got to keep going here. He's up by two.
Brody doesn't
give it up. There you go. Nice job. He almost gave up the takedown, but he steps over, gets a takedown, and near fall. And Lakota's going to win that match there. Boy, he battled through that one because he almost gave up the takedown to lose the match.
Good job. Brody wins over there 10-0 in his match. So Riverdale right there.
Riverdale 10-0 for Brody Mead. 11-3 victory for Lakota Brewer. Nicely done. Back to back. And we have to wait a while for Grant Matthews. We also can't blink.
Well, that's for sure.
But we will take a break. We'll blink right now and send it back to the station. Hear from our sponsors. We'll be back with more from the Kohl Center in a moment. This is State Tournament Thursday on WRCO Sports.
Landowners manage a variety of assets every day. Trees on your property are an asset you shouldn't take for granted. The staff of Meister Log and Lumber has been buying logs and standing timber in southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's professional forest management team can help you make the decisions that will be in the best interest of you and your trees. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log and Lumber, 608-434-4413.
Make someone smile with a special gift from Robin's Nest Country Gifts and Flowers, Richland Center. From beautiful fresh-cut flowers to unique gifts and decor, you'll find something for all occasions. Birthdays, anniversaries, funerals, holidays, or even just because. Not sure what to get? A Robin's Nest gift certificate is always perfect. Stop in and see us today at Robin's Nest Country Gifts and Flowers at the corner of Orange and 3rd, Richland Center. Delivery is available. Call 383-1616.
The snow and cold season is here, and Ash Creek Plumbing, Heating, and Electric knows how to keep you warm and comfy. Get unparalleled warmth and efficiency with a Woodmaster outdoor furnace. Not only is wood a readily available resource, but it's inexpensive when compared to other fuel sources. And Woodmaster has been building industry-leading outdoor furnaces since 1989. Stay warm this winter with the help of Woodmaster and the folks at Ash Creek Plumbing, Heating, and Electric. 1011 Highway 14 East in Richland Center. Call 647-5500.
Are you really getting the best collision repair service when insurance companies choose one for you? Your choice is simple. Choose Classic Auto Body in Spring Green. Don't let your insurance company fool you. You can choose the body shop for your repairs. With Classic Auto Body, you get twice the value. Nationally acclaimed quality at a reasonable body shop rate. Your choice is simple. Classic Auto Body, located on Highway 14, Spring Green. 588-7399. That's 588-7399. Classic Auto Body, home of the Ring Brothers.
We come back. This is the quarterfinal round in both divisions 2 and 3 happening on Thursday night. Normally quarterfinals didn't happen here at State until Friday morning, but things have changed and we're getting them out of the way tonight. Tomorrow it will be just consolation bracket activity in all four tournaments, divisions 1, 2, and 3, and for the girls until tomorrow night when there'll be semifinals in all four venues. Kirk, I believe we had a Fenimore wrestler out here during the break. How did Siler Zantsevich do?
He won his match. I guess I didn't see the score. He beat Murphy Byer from Freedom. And what was the final on that? He pinned him in a minute 8.
Thank you.
Some Riverdale ties there for his father and family there coming from Riverdale, now wrestling for Fenimore. Siler is this year a senior, wrestling for the Fenimore Golden Eagles. Look forward, like we said to earlier, I truly think that's going to be your state final next week against Fenimore Coleman in D2 this year. I want to mention Roland Carey down there on the mat, because here are even a lot of people from a lot of different stations. They're hoping, and they've got him ranked to be that this is hopefully going to be Roland Carey's year, and he's going to step out of that bridesmaid role or number 2 role and be a champion this year.
Well, he's got the top seed, and boy, he's been to the state finals 3 times and come up short, including one in overtime last year in the finals. So everybody's cheering for him, rooting for him.
And he's going to be a Badger next too, which is another plus for the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So he's leading his match right 4-0. Got a chance for another takedown as he is right wrestling a young man from Adamat, from Phillip. Right again, just like we normally talk about, Mineral Point is still getting the takedown. He wants a cradle and a takedown, but he probably just gets the takedown. And he'll lead in that match 7-0. You have a Prairie wrestler down here on mat number 4, and that's Lenzendorf out there again. Yep. And then trying to look at some of the other ones. There's a name I used to live up in Edgar there, Stencil from Marathon. But that used to be pretty much a basketball name. It's Cherry now is scoring back points down there. We mentioned earlier we got some Iowa Grant wrestlers coming up here shortly, and we want to kind of get them on the air because we weren't able to do a lot with them the first round. A lot of that had to do is a lot of their wrestlers in the upper weight classes.
They went.
Pretty good records and pretty good destinations behind them, so they were top 4 seeds. We'll see what happens with their presentation they got out there. If they vote that through, there's the potential that there will be all 3 classes will be equal, and there'll be 14 wrestlers in each weight class. So we will go away from this format that we're doing this year. But as Bill said, the idea this year was to try to get everybody 2 matches tonight and get to where we're into either semifinals or wrestle back matches in the other areas. And Terry, as I rattle on, he scores a pin here in the 3rd period in just 21 seconds in that period. So it would be 4:21 would be the pin time. So rolling, keep rolling along there.
Nice job, Kirk.
It looks like we're going to have another Mineral Point wrestler step up down there. Dannenberg? Oh, that must be Arbondale kid. We saw that blue uniform, and he just took me off there.
Weiler from Auburn.
And that's Colt Weiler. There's another stud. Is that his front? No, that's a really good one. Isn't that Colton that's out there?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, 150 pounds. As we said, we're moving along here. We're at that halfway point on both divisions. Matter of fact, there's a couple weight class, well, down here in Division Two, we're up to 157 in three of the mats.
Mat five on deck is Dannenberg from Mineral Point. He's brought up Mineral Point. And then after him is Hinderman, excuse me, from Iowa Grand Highland, who's facing Paulson from Aquinas. Lindendorf still out there in his match. Still no score in that match.
Ooh, they got the score on the big board now.
Oh, they do. Well, not every match. So. Hopefully they get that fixed tomorrow. Oh, there's a young man from Nielsville that was at Richland Center. He's won his quarterfinal match. That was unique this year, Bill, that we had some teams from far up north that we haven't had there in many, many years. Arcadia came down. Nielsville, Greenwood, Loyal.
14 teams from seven different conferences in that one region.
Yep. Black River Falls used to be in the South Central or Richland Center.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is the first time they've been in Richland Center in a long time. Got a final down there on mat number eight. And that didn't take long. Cole and Wireless decides to use just a minute 12. He gets a pin down there for Auburndale.
Well, that's going to bring Tyson Emhoff to Highland.
Well,
there we
go. There you go, David. Run with that, baby.
All right. Well, we got to wait for the wrestlers to get out there. But,
oh, and he wrestles that Peterson from Cumberland that Bill brought up earlier that's got ties to John Peterson and John Jr.,
the Olympic medalist.
Number 644-pound quarter.
As they get set there, Tyson is waiting for his opponent and has not recorded to the mat yet.
That's another unique. We just touched on it a little bit later because of the remodel here, that the wrestlers are a little bit farther away. They don't have the quote-unquote bullpen that we used to have them in all the time.
I actually had the wrong guy out there. Tyson just showed up.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I was looking at that too. And I was just as confused as you. Tyson shows up late.
Yeah, Iowa Grand Highland has that kind of that faded camouflage uniform.
Camouflage with a flag on the back, doesn't it?
Yep.
This should be a great bout here.
There's a good single leg takedown for Emhoff. Just not quite able to finish it yet. He's got switches to a double. He's going to get the takedown. He's really aggressive out there early in this match. Tyson is a senior with a record of 44-8. And Logan Peterson is a junior, 38-10. Jacob Dannenberg has hit the mat here, mat 5. He's out there right now with a lead, down 3-1. There's another takedown for Emhoff as he released Peterson, and he goes right back to another takedown, so he's up 6-1 now, just over a minute to go in the period. Now he's got a good old cradle, old-fashioned cradle. He just got to step up and bring it back. Oh, don't go over top of you. So he tried to go over top of him. Lost the hold. Peterson is able to recover and comes out on top. He probably won't do that again, but gives up the reversal. 6-3 now. This is time you want to take that cradle backwards, and Peterson wasn't allowing that, so then he tried to get a little momentum and go over top of himself. Couldn't hold on to it.
Suicide cradle's not a good idea in the state tournament.
No.
Dannenberg doing a nice job riding.
Yep. Emhoff does get back up to his feet and gets the escape, so he's up 7-3 now. Dannenberg is still down by 2. Back to Emhoff's matches.
Dannenberg was right, but now he gives up an escape, 4-1.
Team score.
Yep. I saw that in the announcement that they're actually going to declare a girls state champion.
Oh, really?
Team-wise this year. Which I think is pretty cool because they don't have the school meet championship for the women
So their team set, right.
Yep. So revert back to the old years that Bill and I remember when we had we have champions here, but it's just the coaches that they
right.
Uh-oh. Annenberg gave up a move there. Now he's in a lot of trouble down there and he gets pinned.
Meanwhile, Imhoff has got another takedown. He's up by 10, 13-3. Dannenberg's time ends up being 324. Now Imhoff's got his opponent in a cradle. And he's got over a minute to hold him there.
There's a Fenimore wrestler. It was a DET wrestler gets the chin down there. Johnson on mat number one.
Imhoff is awarded the pin. So he's going to have a pin time of 3:07. Tyson Imhoff.
That was at 1:57.
Correct.
We're going to come down here to mat number one. I believe I got it right. Yes, we do. Tristan Stelt from Fenimore, via Muscadet. I knew you'd like that. He's got his ties there with his dad, the Muscadet. He still has a lot of relations there. And a two-time defending state champion. And this is one Bill will indulge me here. This ain't going to last probably too long anyway. Unless he slams him there, but that was close.
Wrestling.
He gets the first takedown.
Division 3,
he gave back points there. So this gets just the takedown. In this 165-pound bout, Division 2. Did we miss Danny Heiser? Or did he already wrestle? He wrestled. He did. Okay. Tristan Stelt here in his match. He's taking on a young man, Hunter Burr from Martin Luther. Now, is that, you think, from what city do you think that's at, Martin Luther? Over by Watertown, that direction? That's what I was thinking. It sounds like, yeah, it used to be Martin Luther Prep, didn't it?
Yes.
Stelt in with a nice tilt here. So that's where I think you're right, Bill. Going to get the near fall there now. It's 11-0. We're still only halfway through the second period. Got a final down here. The young man from Antigo wins at 165. Still gets another tilt. If he gets four near falls here, that'll push him up to 15-0. And that should be the bout. Yes, I told you this wouldn't take very long. Thanks for indulging me, Bill.
Nicely done. Mat 5 is got Brock Kinderman, and he's facing Trevor Paulson. Brock Kinderman of Iowa Grand Highland. Trevor Paulson, the senior from Aquinas. That match has 30 seconds into the match, but had a stoppage for blood time for Paulson. So early in the match here, 0-0.
Over there, which interesting, Matt, on mat number 4, we talked about that Coleman-Fenimore matchup. We actually have Kukta, which is a pretty good Coleman wrestler name. He's taking on Nathan Blosky from Fenimore over there. Right now, it's young man from Coleman winning 9-2. Back to you, David.
All right, 0-0, under a minute to go in the first period. And doing a little arm tie here, collar tie. Man, yeah, Paulson takes him off, takes him down, but off the mat. Still works the way back to the center here. Back to the center they go. They're just past 30 seconds now. 150-pound match here, Division 3. We'll score on the board with 24 seconds, and it looks like we got blood time again.
Now wrestling at number 757, Division 3, quarterfinals for Public City.
Other matches going on out there. Why is that Marco name familiar, Bill? has been, he's been here four times in the state tournament.
Yep,
and it was his brother was a four-time champion, wasn't he?
Correctly. Yep. Well, this could be his year. Griffin Marco out there on mat number one.
Correct.
Thinking on Crooks from Freedom. 175, Division 2. Still working on Henderman here for cleanup. Both wrestlers are going to have their nose taped up now. I have a final to report to Division 2 at 157, Adam Haas with a victory. Not Adam Hess.
Not Adam. You've been waiting all day to say that.
Oh, I have. Adam Haas from Shoreland Lutheran, a junior with a 33-2 record now. Picks up a win over Bryce Lenzendorf of Prairie du Chien, 11-2, major decision. This Adam Haas is in pretty good shape.
Yes, he is. We must have missed Heiser's match. We'll get that later. We have another Iowa Grant. Oh, this is what we were looking for, is Hinderman against Paulson down
here. They're going. They got back to action.